WMRA News, I'm Bob Levickin. Virginia's next Speaker of the House of Delegates will almost certainly be a woman for the first time ever. A new UVA study finds that children raised in a city with better sidewalks and pedestrian crosswalks, a so-called walkable city, will have a better chance of success. And we've got insights from this month's Books and Brews author into dealing with depression and mental health from her own experience. This is the WMRA Daily from Monday, November 11th. Virginia is about to get its first female Speaker of the House of Delegates. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
In a closed-door meeting over the weekend, Democrats chose Eileen Filicorn to be their nominee for the next Speaker of the House of Delegates. Filicorn will be the first woman Speaker in the 400-year history of the House and the first Jewish Speaker. Here's Filicorn on election night talking about the importance of gender to voters this year.
Virginians said, we care about gender equality. Gender equality is a priority. Let's pass the ERA.
And now Filicorn is poised to be in the Speaker's chair when the House votes to pass the ERA. That's if she's elected Speaker in January. David Ramadan at George Mason University says the Speaker is elected by a majority of the House members, which means a group of breakaway Democrats could theoretically join with Republicans.
And there's always the possibility when you have a split House that somebody could get votes from the other side of the aisle. Doesn't happen often, but it technically could happen, and there is historical precedent for it.
Democrats have also selected Charnel Herring of Alexandria to be majority leader and Rip Sullivan of Arlington to be caucus chairman. That's a trio of leadership that's all from Northern Virginia.
Meanwhile, Democrats have a long list of agenda items they want to tackle when the next General Assembly gavels into session. Some are cautioning the new leadership, though, to think carefully about what they want to accomplish and when. And Michael has that report.
How much is too much? Now that Democrats have taken control of the General Assembly for the first time in a generation, are they in danger of trying to take on too much too soon? Bob Denton, Virginia Tech, says the new Democratic majority is going to need to be strategic about which agenda items are at the top of the list.
If you lead with social kind of issues or hot button issues, are the members ready for it? Is the public ready for it? You need a real sense of timing as you go forward with a legislative agenda.
Stephen Farnsworth at the University of Mary Washington says one pitfall they'll face is criticism of tax and spend liberals. And he says they can avoid that by emphasizing reforms that won't cost taxpayers a dime.
If you were to ratify the ERA, for example, that wouldn't cost much. If you were to tighten restrictions on guns, that wouldn't cost much. If you were to tighten environmental regulations, once again, it wouldn't break the budget.
Democrats have already signaled gun restrictions will be a top priority for the next General Assembly. But that's just the start of a long list of things they've wanted to do but haven't been able to because Republicans have blocked the way. Now that obstruction is gone, and Democrats have a generation worth of legislation they'll be considering next year. I'm Michael Pope.
A special session on gun legislation scheduled for later this month is in doubt. A meeting to evaluate and make recommendations on what lawmakers should do has been canceled, as Yasmin Juma from VPM News reports.
Bills proposed for the special session were sent to the Virginia State Crime Commission to be evaluated. Lawmakers and advisors were supposed to discuss this at a meeting next week and make recommendations to the full General Assembly. But Senator Mark Obenshain, who heads the commission, said in a statement that holding a meeting would be impractical and canceled it. Obenshain said this in reaction to Governor Ralph Northam, who remarked earlier this week that common sense gun safety legislation likely won't pass until January, when the newly elected Democratic majority is sworn into office.
I'm not about playing games, and I hope they're not either. We're serious about this, so we'll see what they do.
In July, Virginia Republicans ended a special session on gun control about 90 minutes after it began, voting to postpone it until after the elections.
That's Yasmin Juma from VPM News reporting. Turnout in last Tuesday's elections was up 11% over similar elections in 2015, according to the Virginia Public Access Project. From VPM News, Ben Pavier reports.
About 40% of registered voters cast their ballot this year. That might sound low, but it's actually the largest number for an off-year election since 1995. The highest turnout race was a Richmond area House contest between Democrat Don Adams and Republican Garrison Coward, with nearly 60% of possible voters showing up at the polls. Adams ended up winning. And in the Senate, three Richmond area races led the state in turnout. Democrat Ghazala Hashmi and Republican Siobhan Donovan and Amanda Chase won those contests. Presidential turnout will likely be much higher. Over 70% of Virginia voters cast their ballot in the 2016 elections. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
The pathway to the American dream may be paved with better sidewalks and pedestrian crossings, according to new research from the University of Virginia. Hawes Spencer from VPM News reports on a recent set of studies that found that children raised in a walkable city will likely earn more money than their parents.
The researchers controlled for race, politics, and at-home parents, and still found upward mobility associated with walking. And history professor Peter Norton isn't surprised.
We need to be walking more, and we need environments in which walking is practical and makes sense.
Norton wasn't involved in this research, but has studied the history of automobile domination.
And so what we need to do now is rediscover normal. And I think normal means walking first, cycling, efficient transit, and driving can be a useful supplement to all of that instead of the only thing we do.
The researchers also found mental health benefits from living in walkable areas.
In Charlottesville, Hawes Spencer, WMRA News.
Finally today, Charlottesville resident Lisa Jacob worked as a young actor and starred in major Hollywood movies, but she gave it all up after an 18-year career, partly due to anxiety. In her latest book, Lisa finds new answers to dealing with depression and mental health. Lisa is the featured author at WMRA's November Books and Brews. She recently spoke with Chris Boros, who asked her to talk about her battle with panic attacks.
I was one of those people that kept it to myself for a really long time. I didn't talk about it. And then when I started being more open about it, I had so many people who said, "I completely know what you're talking about." And so that's really what got me more comfortable with being more open about it, because I'm not just talking about me and what I'm going through. I'm talking about what so many of us are struggling with, and there's no need for us to be doing that alone.
Was it anxiety specifically with you, or was it also depression? Because you also, I mean, part of your book is about depression. Was it a combination of all of this?
Yeah, I have this amazing combination of anxiety, occasional depression, and I have a panic disorder, so I get panic attacks.
What would happen when you were in one of these really bad panic attacks?
During most people's first panic attack, they end up going to the emergency room because it feels so much like a heart attack.
Because the heart's racing like crazy, or?
Exactly. Yeah. You feel really sick to your stomach, like you might throw up. So it is incredibly all-encompassing, and usually they don't last that long, under 10 minutes, but that is 10 minutes of hell.
In the book, you talk about meeting different people who have these issues, PTSD. Talk about some of the people that we'll meet in the book.
Yeah, I talked to a lot of people to find out what anxiety looked like in their lives. But I feel like it comes down to some really core issues, which is so many of us are walking around feeling like we're not enough. And so many of us are walking around feeling like we're just fundamentally weird. And that is where I have come up with this mantra for myself, and I talk about it in the book, of embrace your weird. Everybody's weird.
It's fun being weird.
It's so great being weird.
Thank you.
So many of us have that thing that we think is so weird that other people will not accept us. You know, for me, it's this anxiety. It's this weird childhood I grew up with that was very different because I was working as an actor. So these things that I feel like I have to hide.
Do you think there are actually normal people, though, anywhere? I mean, have you ever really met a normal person?
Such a great question. I really hope not, because I feel like they would be a very boring existence.
You mentioned being a child actress. You're in this little movie. Not a lot of people have seen it. Nobody likes it. You know, it's just it's this little movie you were in called Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
And you played the teenage daughter. Robin Williams was your father in this movie.
Yes.
Lisa, that's awesome. I mean, I know like for you, this is normal, but do you have any idea? Everybody loves that movie.
I'm recognizing that because I'm, you know, I was 14 when I filmed that, and I'm 40 now, and people are still talking to me about it. So apparently it's a little bit popular.
So you write a book about depression and then Robin Williams. That had to hit you pretty hard.
It's still hard to fathom that he is gone. Robin had a huge impact on me. And, you know, to be quite honest, I think a lot of my desire to be very open about my own issues with mental health came from him, because he was very open with me about his struggles with addiction, about his issues with depression.
Wow.
And he talked to me a lot about that.
When someone reads your book, what do you hope they learn or they get from reading it?
Well, my hope with it was just that people feel a little bit less alone. And so I just really wanted to put together the book that I wish I had had when I was really struggling, telling me, like, here are a whole bunch of other people and how they've dealt with it. Here are the things that worked for them. And then here are a whole bunch of options of things that you can try.
Well, Lisa, I really appreciate you coming in today and being so brave to talk about this and write a book about your own anxiety. I mean, that takes some guts, you know?
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm honored to be here.
Lisa Jacob is the author of Not Just Me, Anxiety, Depression, and Learning to Embrace Your Weird. She's our speaker tomorrow and Wednesday for WMRA's Books and Brews. Lisa, thank you.
Thank you so much.
For details on this week's Books and Brews, and to hear a longer version of this interview where Lisa talks more about filming Mrs. Doubtfire with Robin Williams, visit WMRA.org. You'll also find that interview through the WMRA app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Monday.